And welcome to another exciting adventure in podcasting. That would be Michael Angel's Cosmic Grab Bag. I'm your host, Michael Angel, and you lucky devils are in the Angel Zone. You're especially lucky today. I have a great show lined up for you, man. This is my featured artist is named Holly Benton, a fantastic singer. You know, if you love blues too, you're really gonna love Holly. She'll be doing two tunes, as a featured artist always does. The first one called Arguing with the Devil, and the going home tune, as I like to call it, called Upgrade. So be looking forward to that, and no fair skipping through the rest of the tunes because they are equally as good. Yeah, I think you're going to love this show. So let's go ahead and kick this thing off, man. Pop top on a cold one. Smoke them if you got them from the top to the bottom. Roll yourself up some of that medical marijuana if you're that way inclined and you happen to live in Colorado or Washington State. And let's, without further ado, let you listen to Arguing with the Devil by Holly Benton.
It's like arguing with the devil,
Yes, sir. Holly Benton, my featured artist for this episode, Arguing with the Devil is the name of the tune. Big thumbs up from Michael Angel. Oh, love that woman's voice. I love the guitar in that song, too. But yeah, be looking forward to listening to Upgrade. It'll be the last tune on the episode, the going home tune, as I like to call it. Holly Benton, my featured artist. Before we get to the next tune coming up out of the bag here, just close it up. Pull the drawstrings or grab bag. I wanted to talk about something just for a moment, and it was something I saw last night on Science Channel or something. They were talking, yes, I watched the Science Channel. They were talking about how long it would get to, say, like Alpha Centauri and all the different modes of transportation that may be possible in the future. Some of the things they've ruled out, you know, I mean, if you're a Trekkie or a Trekker, depending on when you were born, of course, you're thinking warp speed. Well, antimatter and matter, you know, fusing together, that's not exactly feasible. I mean, and they explained why. And it's so dangerous, man, because the explosion would be, I think they said, like 10 of the bombs that went off in Hiroshima. When we dropped the bomb on Japan many, many, many years ago. Not to go there, but it just wouldn't be feasible. And then they were talking about the possibility of creating a wormhole and a bubble around the ship. But they started talking about all the different things that you would have to do. Like, for instance, if we were to go to Mars, for example, something that at the speeds we can travel now would still take 6 months, the biggest issue you would run into, besides the fact that once you're out in space, you're not really protected from radiation, and of course there's debris flying around in space, you know, like little mini asteroids that could just total your ship, you know, and leave you kind of twisting in the cosmic breeze. What was the point I was trying to make? The bigger thing that they were talking about was how people would get along with each other in confined quarters over a 6 month period. And I guess apparently in Moscow they built a replica of a model of a ship that they thought, you know, in a joint venture with the United States, you know, that they would use. And they actually did this whole thing with the time it would take for a trip to Mars, the landing, and then coming back. And I think it was 6 months or 9 months or something like that. And these guys did okay, but I mean, out of the six of them, four of them had mental issues when they finally got out of this thing. I think that's going to be the biggest obstacle, is people just being trapped like that with each other, because if anything goes wrong, I mean, if somebody says a wrong thing or something, then it's on, and you have no privacy. I mean, you are stuck with these other five people, whether it be male or female, for that entire length of that trip. You know, there's no getting away from them, so that could be an issue. And one solution to that problem, I suppose, would involve cryogenics, actually putting people in a state of suspended animation for the trip. Another thing they brought up, for instance, whether it was Mars or, say, Alpha Centauri, which even if we could travel at one quarter light speed, would still take us 40 years to get to. That's a long damn time, folks. And then when you got there, there's no guarantee you're actually going to find a place that would be inhabitable. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's kind of a trip. Stuff you don't think about, you know, until it's kind of presented to you like that. But that thing about the people and them not getting along, I mean, I can imagine that ship showing up at Mars and everybody on the damn ship being dead. You know, I mean, it could happen. Hopefully not, but it could. And that's just something you kind of have to look at. Next up out of the bag, and no pun intended, this group is called Killing Off Characters. The tune is called Losing Sleep. And I imagine you would on a 6 month voyage to Mars with five other people. So let's go ahead and check that out. Losing Sleep by Killing Off Characters. Thank you. Killing Off Characters is the name of the group. Losing Sleep is the name of the tune. Big thumbs up from Michael Angel. That's got a very Floyd-esque feel to it, doesn't it? And they don't sound like anybody I've ever heard before. And this is why I love indie artists. I mean, if you think about music, and you think about people doing it, for every person that does a tune, if you lined up 100 guitar players and you had them all doing Inagata DeVita or something, you'd get 100 different versions of that tune. You know, you would. I mean, and they can't help it because a person sounds the way they do and they play the way they do. And it's rare when you find two people or two groups of people that sound exactly the same. That's the joy of music, man. Yeah, Killing Off Characters, Losing Sleep, big thumbs up. I was talking about that whole space travel thing and people getting along with each other. Yeah, they even had a... they were showing this instrument... It was a computer, basically, but what it was doing was facial recognition. They would have these people smile, think about something happy, and then think about something sad, and think about being angry, and this, that, and the other, and so the computer would take photos, and the idea being that while you were in transit to, say, Mars, their computer camera would keep, you know, taking pictures of you periodically, and recognizing whether or not by your facial expression you were in a happy mood or a really crappy mood or whatever the case is, to kind of stave off any problems that may happen during that flight. Because obviously if you had a problem with someone, you know, like I said, it could get to you and it could get pretty nasty pretty quick. But you know, if you found the right group of people, you know, if you could find six people that actually just were all on the same page and just, you know, got along with each other famously, but still, 6 months of captivity, man. I just, I don't know. In this particular case, it was all guys, and that would be bad enough. But I think if you had, say, like, you know, three guys, three women, on a voyage like that, it boggles the mind what may happen, you know. And on the other hand, everything may run rather smoothly, but that's what you'd hope for. That would be the best case scenario. The other thing I was thinking about was there's been a debate ever since 1969 and the moon landing as to whether or not we actually did that or not. My first wind of that was after the movie Capricorn 1, where the movie was basically about a lunar landing being staged because these astronauts, you know, once they figured out that they weren't really going to the moon, this organization, and it was supposed to be NASA, but I think it was more of a private organization, if I remember right, in the movie, they needed to kill off these three astronauts. Because if these astronauts told anyone that they never really went to the moon, of course there'd be this big fiasco, you know, as far as funding for this government organization went, you know, and all the ridicule and shame and this, that, and the other. Yeah, but I was thinking, if let's say, just for sake of argument, that the moon landing never actually happened, that it was all Hollywood, it was all staged. What would the end game be, you know? I mean, surely not money, because at that time, NASA was being fully funded by you and I, the taxpayers here in the good old US of A. There was really no shortage necessarily of fundage for a moon trip, you know? And it's pretty costly, but I mean, they had the money to do it, obviously. So it's not money. I mean, what would it be? Why would you fake something like that? And then not only fake it once, but then turn around and do, you know, sequels, you know, to this hoax. It just doesn't make any sense. You know, I mean, if there was some kind of goal, some kind of end game, some brass ring, some massive amount of money or something that you were shooting for, then it would make sense. But I just don't see it. And a good point was brought up that there were like 4,000 plus people involved in that moon shoot and that moonwalk in 69. And it would really be hard to keep 4,000 people quiet. Somebody would let something slip, you know. One of these guys would be at a bar and, you know, get totally toasted or something and just kind of blurt it out. I mean, it would happen. There's just no way to keep something like that under wraps. So I don't know. If you believe that the whole thing was hoax, you know, I mean, I can't say you were wrong. I wasn't there. But if you're asking me personally, I just don't see enough evidence to suggest that, and I've watched everything, to suggest that that moonwalk didn't actually happen. You know, I mean, the big argument is always, well, you know, we can do it here on Earth. You know, we can replicate that same thing. That doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't. I mean, we could probably replicate, you know, how the Egyptians built the pyramids, but we don't really know for sure. You know, we weren't there. And just because we can do it now doesn't mean they couldn't do it then. You know, it doesn't mean it was a hoax. I don't know. Maybe I'm not using the right metaphors here, you know, or combining the stories. But what I meant is, just because you can reproduce something here doesn't mean that it couldn't have happened. Somebody walked up to Buzz Aldrin, I think, a few years ago, you know, and it was one of these conspiracy theorists, and was going, come on, just confess that the, you know, the moonwalk was a hoax. And Buzz turned around and just decked his ass. And I think Buzz was 72 at that time, you know. So don't mess around with an astronaut, man. They'll ring your clock. Yeah, they'll clean your clock and ring your bell all at the same time. Yeah, good for you, Buzz. Next up, out... Wow. It's weird how sometimes I talk about things and they segue into other things. I really was not looking at a playlist. But the next tune-up is called Tiger Punch by the Power Goats. Let's go ahead and check that out, and I'll be right back with you. Space, the final frontier.
And gold, wet football dreams, a kid new to the scene? Will your little tongue make them clean? Shake it all out for the team now, baby. Sweet long tiger from the Hamper. Flare skies till you see Niagara. Sweet long tiger from the Hamper. Flare skies till you see Niagara. A miracle just to steal your face, Living whiskey with a stealer chase. Never leave another drop to waste. Trade a year for one I taste now, baby. Sweet long tiger from the Hamper. Flare skies till you see Niagara. From the camera. Take a harbor dip for your shot. Half the fun is you might be caught. You won't feel dirty as you thought. Now be there. Yeah, yeah. Sweet long tiger from the Hamper. Flare skies till you see Niagara. Sweet long tiger from the Hamper.
Tiger Punch, the name of the tune. The Power Goats, the name of the group. Big thumbs up for Michael Angel, man. Loving that. What else was I going to tell you folks, too? Well, another thing I was thinking about, you think about aliens traveling through space, you know, in a saucer or whatever, and they've overcome all the different things that you would have to do. Obviously, they would have to have some kind of artificial gravity, like we would, in order to sustain themselves so that their they didn't lose muscle mass and bone and whatnot during a long flight, as fast as they can probably travel, which I imagine would be light speed. You know, and then having the right oxygen or whatever it is that they breathe, methane, you know, I mean. So two things would happen if you were an alien coming to this planet, as would happen to us if we were visiting another planet. You've got two obstacles. One, you can't breathe the atmosphere because it's not like the planet you came from, ideally. And then two, I can imagine these aliens landing and opening the door and taking a step out and just collapsing from the weight because their planet may not have the same gravitational pull. And I'm thinking that because the description of these little green men and grays and whatnot that I've seen, they're very spindly, you know. So I'm thinking, you know, they spent lots of time in space, their home planet, wherever it may be, in whatever part of the universe they're coming from, the gravitational pull is not as great. So, you know, I don't think we're in any immediate danger of aliens jumping out of ships and chasing us through the jungle. You know what I'm saying? Because I just don't think they'd last that long. I don't know, man. I don't know. Just things to think about. I'm wondering if that's why we've never actually come face to face with aliens, although there are people that claim they have. I just don't see how that's possible. You know what I'm saying? Because they're not wearing any spacesuits, man. You know, and they've got little slits where, you know, the nasal cavity would be where they would breathe, you know. So I just I don't get it. They can't. How could they breathe our atmosphere? How could they stand up to the gravitational pull of this planet? It just doesn't make any sense. Just a thought. Next up out of the bag, this is Omnibus 11. The tune is called The Wave You Type. Let's check it out, and I'll be right back up with you. And that was Omnibus 11, the tune The Wave You Type. Big thumbs up for Michael Angel. Love the tune, man. Love the vocals, too. Big thumbs up to the Power Goats, in case I was remiss in saying so. You know, I know what's on your mind. I know what you're thinking. I'm listening to the show. I've got to become a Halo head. What is a Halo head? A Halo head is a absolutely fanatical follower of the show. They cannot miss an episode, man, because they just don't want to miss the merriment and excitement that goes on in the show. And these fantastic indie artists I'm playing that they might not normally hear. And so you want to become one? Easy to do. Go to my page, michaelangelallonword.podomatic.com. Scroll to the right, scroll down. There's three different ways to get a hold of the show. You can do it by subscribing to the RSS feed, or you can go to iTunes. The show is absolutely free. There's no charge for it. And there's a guarantee, man, that you'll love every show or your money back. No, wait a minute. We can't do that because I'm not charging for the show, so nobody's paying for it. But you get the general idea. I'm that confident you'll like the show that you want to keep tuning into every episode. Not for yours truly, but for these indie artists I'm playing. And you'll ask yourself the same question I always ask myself. Why aren't these guys on the radio? You know? I mean, why don't we know them? Why aren't they nationwide? Why don't we know them better? And hopefully, in some small way, by playing them, you may never have heard them before, but you hear them, you like them, you go to their pages, you check them out, they've got all these other tunes you love, and boom, bada bing, you are a fan, you know, of these folks, as well as this show. So that's the name of the game, man, finding indie artists that you've never heard before, but you probably should have. Like, for instance, next up out of the bag, this is Summerlin Powers. The tune is called Rise and Shine. Let's go ahead and check that out.
you're gonna rise, you might as well shine. If you got wings, you might as well fly. If you've got a voice, you might as well sing. Never met a bell that I didn't want to ring. It can be so easy when you're on your path and you know where you're going. If the rain falls, that great big river of life keeps flowing. So jump on in, the water's fine. One more town, one more time. Never met a hand that I didn't want to shake. Never took a chance that I didn't want to take. Never met a wheel that I didn't want to roll. I never said a prayer that didn't bless my soul. Bless my soul, bless my soul. It's easy when you're on your path and you know where you're going. One more time. We're gonna fade dojo when the music's right. I'll see you at the dance this Saturday night. Got my new white dress and my pink boots on. We're gonna dance all night to our favorite song. Favorite song, favorite song. Favorite song, favorite song. When you're on your path and you know where you're going. If the rain falls, that great big river of life keeps flowing. So jump on in, the water's fine. One more time, one more time. Ooh, this water's kind of cold.
Yes, indeed. Summerlin Powers, the tune Rise and Shine. Big thumbs up for Michael Angel. Love the tune. Had to do a little change of pace there. That's good country, man. Yeah, before we get to the next tune here, the other thing I was thinking about is, what do aliens eat exactly? You know? You never, you see drawings of ships, depictions of aliens, you never see them being caught with, you know, like munching on a candy bar or some shit. They never, it's like they don't eat. And also most of the time when you have one of those close encounters, they have no weaponry. Why is that exactly? You know, you'd think they'd be carrying these big macho guns strapped to their hips, you know. We come in peace, shoot to kill, you know, or something. It just doesn't seem to work that way, you know? Maybe they don't need weaponry. Maybe they don't need to eat. I mean, I don't know. And where are the bathrooms exactly on these ships? I just, you know, I think about these strange things so you don't have to. You're busy during the course of your day. You're working. You're going through your various problems. And so I need to sit back and think about this for you. But these are things that make you go, you know, things you need to wonder about. For instance, if you find yourself on an alien ship, you know, you're probably going to be encapsulated in water. And I'm wondering, that's always the sci-fi thing. Whenever aliens grab humans, they encapsulate them in these cylinders that are water-like up to their necks. And I'm thinking, okay, that's all well and good, but, you know, we need air, we need food, we're going to have to go to the bathroom eventually. And how does that work exactly in that cylinder again? I don't know, man. Next up out of the bag, this is Byron Siren. The tune is called Same Method, Different Pain. Let's go ahead and check that out, and I'll be right back up with you.
Good. Waking up with a friend or foe on your shoulder, you don't know. Today is a beautiful day, but tomorrow. tomorrow doesn't feel the same. The same breath with a different pain. Dead memories are waiting here to trip you up, it's true. If you want them to, change your memories in your mind, but you still can't make it right. When events is so unkind, dead memories are waiting here to trip you up, it's true. If you want them.
Same Method, Different Pain, the name of the song by Byron Siren. Big thumbs up for Michael Angel. Yeah, I don't know where you go to the bathroom on the ship, man. Because if you think about it, I mean, we don't exactly have that wired down either, or at least the way we do it isn't exactly, you know, you don't have any set room that you walk into to do that sort of thing. So I'm thinking, you know, if we don't have that yet, maybe the aliens don't have it either. I don't know. You know. Yeah, but spaceflight, could you imagine yourself on board a ship for anywhere from 6 months to 40 years, you know? They're trying to find people that can handle this sort of thing. And in fact, this one guy, he's a private investor in some space outfit, that he's basically doing a contest, you know? He's trying to find, like, I think 24 people whose personalities are prone to long existences of being alone, long periods of isolation. Like he would ask questions of these people. Like he was asking this one woman, he goes, "Well, how often do you talk to your mother?" And she goes, "Well, every day, you know." And he said, "Well, do you think you could handle not being able to talk to her for, you know, years?" And this woman just kind of froze dead in her tracks. I mean, she wasn't sure what to say. You know, and she kind of brushed it off and said she could. But you could see there was going to be a problem. You know, and that's the thing. You'd have to have a bunch of people who basically didn't have a lot of family ties, maybe didn't have a lot of friends, maybe they were basically loners, to be able to endure a flight of that magnitude and not worry about really having to have a conversation with anybody else around them, you know, but I mean still getting along with everyone. It all comes back to that, you know. You can say whatever you want, that food might be an issue, keeping up your body mass would be a problem, just getting to the planet and landing on it could be problematic, and then if you did step outside, then it's all about you being in a spacesuit basically for the rest of your life. They were talking about landing on Mars and the colonization thereof, and they were thinking, of course, in dollars and cents, that it would be a lot cheaper to be able to make Mars a one-way trip, at least at first. And the first folks going there, that was a one-way ticket. You got there, you stayed there. So you need to find people that will resign themselves to the fact that they're never going to see Earth again, and they're never going to see, you know, friends and family, if they have any. You know, it's just not going to happen. You're there. You know, you're there for the long haul. You're not going back. And then they were talking about reusable rockets, you know. But the thing is, sending the kind of fuel you would need and the amount you would need to not only fuel the ship going to Mars, but also the fuel that it would take to blast off the rocket that had originally gone there in order to come back. It's just, I don't know, man. I don't know. They haven't quite worked all the bugs out of that, and I'm not sure how they're going to. But yeah, those first people, pioneers for sure. But you'd really have to have the mindset, is what I'm thinking. I don't know. I think I could handle the flight, but the idea of being stuck on a planet that where, I mean, anything could go wrong. You know, you'd really have to have, boy, some kind of mental constitution to be able to deal with something like that. But yeah, if it was just space flight and I knew that, you know, the ship could withstand whatever it was I was going to run into, and basically the whole idea of artificial gravity and air and, you know, food, hydroponics or whatever had been taken care of, yeah, you know, I think I could see myself doing that. If I wasn't involved right now, I think I could see myself doing it. Right now, yeah, that would be an issue. Couldn't do it. I couldn't be away from that person for that long, or longer. If, like I was talking about that Mars flight, those first people, it'd be a one-way trip. You know, and that's provided, of course, that they landed safely. I think everything else after that might be possibly cake. Because if you think about it, all the, at least in this country, all the Mars landings we've done with the robots, I think out of 10 of them, only 4 have made it, you know, or something like that. The percentage of crash is higher than the percentage of safe landing, let's put it that way. So, yeah, we got to iron that out somehow. Next up out of the bag, this is the special guests. The tune is called Surfin' in New Hampshire. Hampshire being spelled H-A-M-P-S-H-A, because if you're from the East Coast, and New Hampshire in particular, it's New Hampshire. I'm pretty sure. I know a girl from Vermont that could probably tell me how that was actually pronounced, but there you go. Surfin' in New Hampshire. Let's go ahead and check that out, man. Get out your sex wax. Let's hang 10.
Surf's up at Hampton Beach. The waves are 1 foot high. We're waxing down our surfboard. The sea's a little rough. Think I'll sit here on the beach. Think I'll have. We'll be right back.
in Hampton. I'm tired, should not curl. I wanna hit them bars, pick up bikini girls. It's time to load up my woody, 'cause I'm the only one here. I think I'll have get the truck.
Or catch a wave and you're sitting on top of the world, but I don't know about the East Coast, man. It doesn't sound like much fun. No, that was Surfing in New Hampshire by a special guest. Big thumbs up to them. Great tune. Yeah, I never thought about that. That must be a bummer. You're surfing in New England, man. You keep running into lobsters or something. I don't know. Yeah. Excuse me, that'd be trying to like surfing on the Great Lakes. You might catch a 3-foot wave. Woo, monster wave, you know. I just don't know how that works. Yeah. What was I going to tell you, folks? If you have any questions or comments about the show, or things you want to share or whatever, you can contact me at michael.m.angel@hotmail.com. Hotmail, you like the way I said that? .com. Yeah, send me any comments you want to make, pro or con. And especially if you like the show, and especially if you'd like to be on the show. How do you do that? Well, there's a couple of ways you can do that. The first way, you can send me a tune. And submit it and go, here, you know, would you spin this tune for us, Angel? And I'll probably do it. There's a 99.9% chance that I will. But you could send me two tunes. Because if I like both tunes, I'll make you the featured artist like I did with Holly Benton on this particular episode. And which, by the way, her tune Upgrade is coming up after the next song. The other way you can do it is to go to musicalley.com and upload your tune onto their website, and through Creative Commons you are giving them the right to allow your tunes to be played by I and other podcasters who may hear your tune, and it's a great way to get played. And while we're talking about that, I noticed something really weird on Music Alley, and I had been watching this for the past couple 3 months, but it's become more pronounced and more progressive as time has gone on. Some of you who have gone there have probably noticed that besides just the fantastic tunes that you can hear, you know, by any genre you want, basically from any country you want, there are people who are advertising. You know, they're doing little audio bits for various things, man. Everything from, you know, plumbing to, God, I don't know, dog grooming. It's weird, and it's getting worse. I mean, I'm seeing like blocks of this from, you know, various businesses and whatnot. One of them was a ski lodge here in Colorado. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know if anybody's monitoring musicalley.com, but if they are, they must be asleep, because the first thing I would do is take those people the hell off of there. That's not what that's supposed to be for. It's called Music Alley, not Advertisement Alley. Okay, I mean, nobody wants this, you know, and I think it's, and what's really, really sinister about this whole thing is that a lot of these companies are claiming that they're playing music, you know, though when it says genre, you know, it'll say spoken word, or it'll say ambient, or rock and roll, or whatever it is. It's just wrong, you know, it's just wrong. And if anybody from Music Alley is listening to this show, please stop this, you know, or like I said, come up with a website called, you know, advertisement.com. You know, it could be a spinoff, it could be a sister website, you know, for people that want to do this sort of thing, because this sucks. You know, if you're an artist, you know, and especially if you're trying to find your tune and you've got to, you know, filter through all these different advertisements and stuff, it's just, like I said, it's not right. Next up out of the bag, this is Aswell, and the tune is called The Writing on the Wall. Let's go ahead and check that out. I'll be right back with you with a going home tune.
Comes at 60 miles an hour. In a trying world, is a thought that renders useless. Sent to make the call, though I'm not prepared at all. Within the closest view is a storehouse of excuses. See the writing on the wall. I can hear the buzzing in the hall. I'm writing and saving. I'm unprotected. I can get a feeling far away. I can be afraid for the day. And now if you save me, don't be afraid of anything. Mystic vault, an escape route says it all. But it's leading to a world that seldom helps you. Closing the gates, they're heading towards this way. I could never win, it's a pointless situation. See the writing on the wall. I can hear the buzzing in the hall. Come right in and save me. I'm unprotected. I can get a feeling far away. I can be afraid for the day. And now if you save me, don't be afraid of anything. Tasks are overwhelming, and the way is so complicated. I carry on, focus on you. All the rules that better break me, and the plans that overtake me. I soldier on, pressure's on.
Tune, The Writing on the Wall by Aswell. I just got two words for you guys. Great fucking tune. No, I'm sorry, that's three words, isn't it? Well, okay. And an expletive. That's, no, big thumbs up for Michelangelo. Love the tune. That had this very 60s feel to it, man. I mean, I don't know if the rest of you caught that or not, but I love it. I want to thank Aswell, special guest, Byron Siren, Summerlin Powers, Omnibus 11, The Power Goats, Killing Off Characters, and Holly Benton, my featured artist for this episode, for just being so super uber talented. And that would be super, super talented, wouldn't it? And just giving us something decent to listen to, myself and the rest of the listening audience. There's a lot of crap on the radio, folks, and I'm sure you've noticed that. I mean, I kind of stopped listening to the radio even before I started doing this show, which, by the way, has been going on for 5 years now. You Haloheads, you diehard fans, you guys who've been listening from, like, episode one. I know, 5 years. It's hard to believe. That actually happened in May. But back to my main point. Yeah, a lot of crap on the radio. And so it's a joy, you know, to find these people and be able to put them on a show, tunes that I want to hear, you know, I mean, tunes I'd like to hear on the radio. And if you hear these people and you love them, go to their websites, man. Show them some love. Tell them where you heard them. That would be Michael Angel's Cosmic Grab Bag. And tell them Michael Angel sent you. And get to know them. Become their fans. Because, I mean, what artist can't use more fans? I could use more fans. I could use more Halo heads. Again, if you want to be a Halo head, easy to do, man. Just go to my page, Michael Angel, all one word, .podomatic.com. Michael Angel, .podomatic.com. And then go to the right, scroll to the right, scroll down, and just subscribe to the show. And you will be alerted every time that a new show comes up, either by email with a link to where you can go back to Podomatic and hear the show, or, you know, it will come into your iPods or your phone if it's set up that way, you know. You can also find me on iTunes, as I said before. Before we get to the tune Upgrade by Holly Benton, a big thumbs up to Holly for this tune as well. I want to thank all you folks in the listening audience again for choosing this podcast to listen to. There's a ton of them you could be listening to, but you chose this one, and I think you're extremely bright for doing that. You're probably in the Mensa Society, and also because you've got really good taste, because you like this podcast and you love these artists that I'm playing. So before I end the show, I will say what I say at the end of every show. Be good humans and do something wonderful for somebody just because you can, and just because it's the right thing to do. It's great karma, man, and it will never, ever, ever steer you wrong. So until I see you on the flip side, you've been listening to Michael Angel's Cosmic Okay, take two. Be good humans and do something wonderful for somebody just because you can, and just because it's the right thing to do. It's great karma, man, and it will never, ever, ever steer you wrong. So until I see you on the flip side, that'll be next episode. You've been listening to Michael Angel's Cosmic Grab Bag, the best unknown podcast on the net, and I've been your host, Michael Angel. Thanks for listening, folks. Without further ado, Upgrade by Holly Benton. See you later, folks.
My cell phone started buzzing late one afternoon. A call from my provider telling me to come in soon. New phones are on the market, we've got them all displayed. It's time for an upgrade. The one I have still works, but not like it did before. Why wait? about the new things I'd acquired. Got to looking round my house to see what else had expired. And there on the couch, I see something that needs improving.